All right. So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, with really one of, really, I know I say this a lot, but she is one of my favorite people on the planet. Jennifer McLean, I mean, really, she's just awesome. And I'm very excited about this topic, which is not only timely, but this woman can speak to this topic, how to create a profitable business empire using credibility branding. And she has certainly done that in the last year, 2 years. It has been extraordinary to watch her meteoric rise. So let's just take a moment before we blast off. And so if you've been sitting all day, just take a moment to stand, even walk around a little bit. Take a nice deep breath and just find a spot that feels especially perfect for just bringing yourself into the moment. Wherever that is, take a nice deep breath and exhale and just soften your knees, relax your shoulders, and just allow the core essence of you to ripple as if you were a pebble in a pond, the energy of you just opening and just flowing. And being open to all kinds of new and wondrous things that are going to be coming your way in the next hour. Feeling your dynamic connection to all of the other conscious business entrepreneurs, not only on this call, but maybe on the replay. They may not even be a part of this series. Certainly connecting to Jennifer and her entire tribe of folks who are on for light and opening and all kinds of abundance. And for you being your business in the world in an extraordinarily delightful and prosperous way. Thank you so much for being here today, everyone. And thank you, Jennifer, for being here. I always get, you know, I'm like a little kid. I just want to jump up and down whenever you're here.
I so enjoy doing your show, too. It's funny, I was, my friend Mary is actually over here today working. I'm in this new condo overlooking the ocean in Laguna Beach that I'm leasing for a year. And it is a remarkable, remarkable place. It is spectacularly beautiful. And we were just talking about how different my life is now and how I can I have so many more moments of breath even though I'm very busy. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that 2-3 years ago I would be kind of in a little bit of an agitated state before coming onto a call like this. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be good enough? Is it going to be okay? Will they like me? Right? Those are the kind of thoughts that would enter. And now it's kind of like I turned myself around, and as you know, I created this what's it called? Declaration. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I think it seated me in a new way of being. And, of course, being a teacher, you start living your teachings a lot more when you put yourself out into the world. And, you know, just preparing for the show, I was able to eat a little bit of lunch, and I was able to have a little chat with Mary about this topic. And, you know, and now here we are, and I'm in this place of service, of where it's not about me being good. It's not about me being in a place of making more money. It really is about being of service first and of really making a difference on the planet for myself. And it's not just making a difference as in, you know, I'm sacrificing. It really is making a difference for myself, too, being a better person, evolving, deepening myself as a human being on this planet, and then assisting others in their deepening as well. And it's, I think, energetically, for those of you who are sensitive, you can kind of feel into this. And that is also the place where if you can run your business from that place, you're in a place of much, much more opening and flow and so many more opportunities just show up when you can run your business from that place. It's not a place of grasping. It's not a place of bracing against the next shoe dropping. It's a place of, wow, wonder. Wonderment. It's a place of what's next? What could possibly top what just happened? And when the challenges show up, if you can run your life and your business from that same place and use those challenges, use them as place of discernment, as place of, well, perhaps we're supposed to be going in a new direction instead of being stopped by them, instead of saying, you know, there's a lot of people who are on the path who stop and say, what happened? Why? And, you know, I'm even moving past, I have many moments where I still say why, but most of the time I'm in wonder and I'm saying, well, isn't that interesting?
It's like, why do whatever?
Exactly. I remember years ago, my 40th birthday, I dislocated my ankle when I was learning how to boogie board. And someone said to me, one of my New Age friends said to me, so what happened? Why did you create that? And I'm like, I sprained my ankle. End of story. For me in that moment, that was it. You know,
yeah.
We don't have to dive so carefully and so deeply into everything. We can actually just simply live our lives in the moment. And did it matter why I sprained my ankle? Not in that moment. And actually, even to this day, it didn't really matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can use those moments, too. We can stop and pause and say, and honor them and say, wow, okay, what's going on? And is this something that I need to pay attention to? And you'll get an answer.
Yeah, but I'd love, and you know, we totally dove into a conversation. I just want it for, like...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, you don't have to be sorry. It's just, this is what occurs. This actually happened on one other call in the series. I didn't introduce you, and some folks may not know who you are. Many know who you are, especially in my community. Everybody knows who you are in my community. But just for those folks who are new to Jennifer, I just want to, you know, she's a dear friend, a colleague, an extraordinary model for me of what a conscious business looks like and is always evolving. This is one of the things I adore about you, Jennifer, is you're always evolving joyously, openly. And she is, if you don't know her, I mean, she's done so many things. So many labels and so many titles could fit her. But, you know, she's a speaker and author. She's an entrepreneur. And she is the producer and the host of the really extraordinarily outrageous program, Healing with the Masters. And she's interviewed leaders in spirituality and transformation and evolution, folks like Marianne Williamson, Neil Donald Walsh, Jack Canfield, Greg Braden, Judith Orloff, James Redfield. I mean, the list is too long to number. And before this, she was also, you know, an expert in marketing. So I adore the fact that you've got this, like, grounded experience in marketing and the languaging of marketing, and that also you bridge it with this consciousness and energy awareness that totally imbues and embodies all of your work. I just love
Thank
how
you.
You bring that together, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I am honored by that presentation. Wow, that was really, really heart-filling. Thank you.
You're welcome. But you know what? But the way we started off the call and what you dove into is so an important piece to really, like, shift to, that this place of, like, wanting and striving and reaching is not the place where your brilliance shows up.
Wow, that is very well said. That is very, very well said. Yes, that's true. And trust me, this comes from someone who wanted and strived their ass off.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, that, you know, it's not off yet, but I really did. I spent a large portion of my career striving and going for achievement and really, really focusing on success. And while there's nothing wrong with that, it does have its consequences. And the consequences were for me were burnt out adrenals,
mm-hmm.
Which really took its toll on my life in general. And fortunately, I had been working at my new business where I could take time and actually go to bed, which I spent a lot of time at the beginning of my new business doing. So that striving has, especially for women, striving is a more natural paradigm for men, but it also has its consequences when it goes overboard for all of us. But it takes its tolls, and striving does not create the energetic flow of abundance. Striving does not create the energetic flow of opportunity, that just things that just show up. And I had to learn that the hard way. Now that I've kind of discovered its opposite, and how I discovered its opposite was to experience the opposite of achievement, to experience, from my perspective, extreme failure and poverty. And that took me out so that I didn't – so far out of that mode that I had no choice but to experience a different paradigm in my life as a result. So it took me so far out of achievement and striving that I was, I didn't have a template. And as a result, I kind of created a new template, which allowed me to kind of rise from the ashes as a result. And I recommend that most of you don't do that part. I don't think it's necessary. I really don't. I don't think we have to go through the extreme that I went through. I know that in hindsight that I could have changed my reality in the moment very dramatically had I embraced it, had I stopped resisting it, had I allowed what was showing up to be. Had I done all of those things, I could have had a very different experience. But this was also part of my path. My path was also to have that extreme so I could share with you how to not have to have that same experience. So it's all in perfect divine order.
Absolutely. And is this credibility branding your style of how you learn to put together your message?
Yes, it is actually. Credibility branding fell out of, I worked in corporate America in the technology industry and mostly for startups. I started working in that industry in 1997, right when the internet really took hold. I helped to launch Yahoo Canada at the time. It was before Yahoo was really Yahoo. It was just expanding into different countries at the time. And I through that process of working with tech companies, I came up with this model, and the model was really a communication tool for me because I worked with an engineering mindset, and even people who are non-marketing, they kind of look at it as if marketing is magic, and you either have the touch or you don't. It's not true. And so I developed this model to share with people that there is a process for establishing market presence and becoming an influencer in the marketplace. And so I kind of worked backwards and said, so what is it? I developed the model, and then as it turns out, the model actually works. Not only is it a communication device, but it actually works. Mm-hmm. So credibility branding is really about establishing points of credibility for yourself that allow your customers to say, wow, this person is for real. And once you gain trust, you then gain a loyal customer that usually sticks around for a while. So establishing credibility is an incredibly, from my perspective, an incredibly important communication device. I know a lot of people that focus on tactics. There's a lot of online marketers that teach tactics. Mm-hmm. Tactics without a strategy are just tactics, and they'll take you on a goose chase that is never ending. If you have a strategy put into place, and what I mean by strategy is you kind of have an objective. What is it that you want to achieve at the end? So in spiritual terms, I now look at that more as intention. What is your intention? What do you want to achieve at the end of the day? And I would take that even a step further from an energetic perspective and say, what does it feel like in your body when you've achieved that? Mm-hmm. Like, take it right, ground it right into your body, into your cells to say, okay, when I've achieved what I want, I will feel this. For me personally, it was peace. That, to me, was the ultimate achievement, which is ironic. When I discovered that, that's when a lot of things changed for me because peace was a little antithetical to what I thought achievement was. And so now I know I use those things as a filter. So anyway, credibility branding is about creating, becoming an influencer, establishing yourself as someone who has a certain series of credentials. And it doesn't have to be a master's. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. It could be that, you know, you've spoken at to nonprofit organizations that are relevant to your customers. Mm-hmm. When I was in marketing, I would speak to the IIR, and I would speak to the Marketing Association of America, and I would speak to the Public Relations Organization of America. And, you know, when you would look at my webpage, it would say Jennifer McLean, and then it would have all the places I spoke at. And people would go, wow, she's really credible. I'm going to listen now.
Right.
So that's a point of credibility is doing speaking. Awards are another great point of credibility. When I published The Big Book of You, my book, my spiritual book, I went to and got as many awards as I could. And while I didn't win any, I got honorable mentions. So that's on my webpage. Honorable mention for this award, honorable mention for that award, and people go, wow, this must be a pretty good book. Do you see what happens?
Yes.
So what it does, it actually increases the speed of sales.
Yeah.
When people have more trust in you, it increases the speed of sales. And then in credibility, branding, the model too, there's also a whole section about positioning and messaging, about looking at the marketplace and what does the market need. This is also an area that people get hung up on, which is they don't look at what the market needs. They just look at something that's fun and pretty that they think will be a huge success without looking at all at the market and what market opportunity are. So is it okay if I keep going? Or do
We're going on a good stream here.
Okay, so let's use Healing with the Masters as an example of that. Okay. So Healing with the Masters started in the spring of 2008. So it's only been 2 years, but it exploded. And there's a couple things that I did that were very strategic at the time. I had bought, I think it was the year before or 2 years before, I had bought, it might have even been three, that I had bought Healing with the Masters as a domain name. And my intention all along had been to create a series at some point in time that would position me as a leader by creating the series, right?
Right.
So there's a point of credibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I interview the leaders in spirituality, then I, by association, will become one. It was 100% a marketing ploy, 100%. And I don't mean ploy as in manipulation. I mean it was a marketing strategy.
Right.
My intention was to establish myself as a leader so that I could build my healing practice. That was it. It was marketing, 100% marketing. Then here's what I created. So here's the energy piece of it. So that was my intention. I'm going to create a series. I don't know when or how, but I'm going to create a series at some point in time called Healing with the Masters. I bought the domain. I got the idea 3 years prior, and I got the domain. And then there's the space. Do you see that was an objection from a marketing perspective,
mm-hmm.
also called an intention from an energy perspective? And I created the space for something to show up to show me the next step. And
right.
who showed up at Ellen Britt, who's a regular guest of yours, and that's how Adela and I met, is through Ellen. And Ellen showed me the business model for Healing with the Masters. She showed me how to create a teleseminar series that generated income. Now, I am all about, one of the things that I did when I was coaching businesses was about monetizing content. So I'm all about monetizing content. And you know, when I say those words, people who are more spiritually inclined will go, that feels hard-edged, kind of. It's not. It's an energy exchange. I have content. I am creating content so that it can be of service. And there's an energetic exchange that needs to occur from my gift of content and the packaging that I created for it and putting it down in an audio format or a book format and then selling it to someone who I can be of service to. And when I sell it, there's the energy exchange that completes the cycle. So I use business terms like monetizing content because it's easy to describe what that is. But behind it is a continual intention, and this is something that's really, really important. Behind it always is this continual intention of being of service. And I've said this to you before on this series, but every single dime in my bank account, and there's a lot of dimes there now, every dime represents someone who I have been of service to, every dime. Doesn't that feel good? I mean,
oh, man, that feels so delicious.
When I feel into the income that I'm generating now, that income is a direct result of a bunch of people that have been served, a bunch of people whose lives are changing because I am monetizing content. And there's a beautiful energy exchange that's happening, and I get served. And let me tell you something I didn't know about, because I always did well in corporate America. I made a healthy six-figure salary, but I wasn't ever super wealthy. I did well. I was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting to a place of being doing really well. And I didn't realize that when you get to this place, that a whole new branch of service can open up. I didn't realize that I can pay my vendors what they deserve. I didn't realize that I could hire a virtual assistant who's brilliant, and I could help. And I could help her and her son. I didn't realize that you know, my really dear friends who might need some help, I could help them. I didn't know that I could purchase things. I was in Hawaii, and it's funny, I'm looking out the window right now, I'm seeing a school of dolphins go by, and I always think that's just such a beautiful metaphor for where I'm at in my life, right? Because I'm sitting at the ocean looking at the beach getting filled up, and it's a good thing, and that's what's possible for all of us. I was in Hawaii last year, and there was a local market. And there was this young man who is a jewelry designer. I'm a big fan of jewelry. And so there's this beautiful piece of jewelry. It was spectacularly beautiful. If it had been in a store in L.A., it would have been thousands of dollars. It was about $400. And I could tell that he felt the worth of $400, but it was a stretch for that community, for anyone there to be able to afford $400. And I looked at him, and I looked at what he was doing, and I looked at this spectacular piece of jewelry. It's really quite beautiful. And I said, I'm in. Can I write you a check? And his eyes lit up. And I'm getting a little emotional about it. That's what I can do now.
Yeah.
I can do an energy exchange and pay someone for their gift. You know, and I didn't know any of that was possible before. Getting back to Healing with the Masters and credibility branding. So what credibility branding does is it allows you to accelerate the speed of sales by being a trustworthy vendor for your customers. Speaking engagements, awards are simple examples. Healing with the Masters is a big strategic example where I created Healing with the Masters to be positioned as a leader. I didn't know that Healing with the Master was actually going to be a big, important business model for me. That not only did the credibility piece in spades, but it also allowed me to generate a big income with it as well. And then I flowed along with what the universe provided me through that model. And I've since created a publishing model where I work with my speakers to create products for them and so on. But it all started as a marketing strategy. It all started as how can I establish myself in a really big way, in a very credible way with my audience. And now in terms of strategy, this is the second piece of Healing with the Masters. So the first piece was I would be credible by positioning myself shoulder to shoulder with other leaders in the industry and therefore become one, which has actually happened. And the second part of it was the industry trend. The second part of it, and that's credibility branding, is I have this model where you look at the marketplace, and it's called Trend, Reality, Success, and Habit. And there's four of these areas, and it's actually the cycle of growth of a product, cycle of growth of a company, and cycle of growth of a trend, of an industry cultural trend. And so it starts with a trend, which is usually an influence in the marketplace. And then a reality is that you get a couple of big customers. So in my case, the couple of big customers would have been, not necessarily customers, but it would have been high-profile speakers.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the reality piece of it. Habit is volume. You get a volume of people involved. And then habit, that's reality. And then habit is you have a brand at the end of that, that it's now an habitual brand. So right now, Healing with the Masters is kind of entering into the habit phase where a lot of people are used to it. And I'm probably going to mix it up a little bit because of that, because that's the cycle of a business and a product. It goes back over to the trend. So what's the industry trend? So at the time, the industry trend was recession and people searching for something new. Now, again, this sounds a little bit cold and calculated, but it's not that. It's just taking the time to say, what does the industry, what does the culture, what does the marketplace want and need right now? And how can I then be of service to that need? And by being of service to that need, I can generate an income for myself. And as I just shared with you, I can generate income now for a lot of other people by having a successful company.
Very cool.
So the trend was recession. Okay, so I decided to create Healing with the Masters and create a product that was really, really reasonable in price. It was kind of like a no-brainer to buy it. And I haven't adjusted the price since I started the program. You know, for $57, you can own, 24 speakers, 24 amazing speakers. And again, the other thing that I intended was that every show was going to have something in it that they could take away, that was a technique or a meditation or something or a healing process that they could use, so that there was something tangible within each show. And I've more or less been able to do that. And so that's the monetizing the content piece, which is I wasn't just going to interview people. I was going to create an energy field that they could use to change their lives. So credibility branding came in at marketing. I'm going to be associated with the leaders. And then what's the trend that's in the marketplace right now? What was recession? And that people were looking for some answers. So it was a strategy from start to finish. It was a business strategy. And it was thought out. And then what happens is when you hold that intention from a business and marketing perspective, you might call that objective or a strategy. And the intention was that it was going to change lives. The intention was that it was going to generate income for me. And that's what flows out from that energetic intention as well. So you're holding the space for your business to be this place of intelligence strategy. And then there's also another piece, which is brand, which is another discussion. And then also holding an intention of what the energy of it is going to be. And I think that's the beautiful combination, is to have a good strategy with a strong intention behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have a question around the trends you're mentioning about seeing what the market wants. When you were checking in, how did you determine what the market wanted?
You know, the absolute best way to determine what the market wants is to read. Is to read magazines and newspapers. Now, I don't like reading magazines and newspapers unless I'm in a mode of research, because there's so many negative things within them. But if you hold an intention as you're reading magazines and newspapers that I am intending that I'm going to find and discover things that are going to give me some insight on what the current market trends are.
Okay.
In fact, I'm just realizing in this moment that it's time for me to do this again. and there's also intuition that goes with that too, right?
Right.
There's a point of intuition where you're like, okay. It depends on where you are with in terms of trend, reality, success, or habit as well. I'm in this mode of habit now where I'm interacting with my audience on a regular basis. I'm hearing what it is they want. I've developed this membership site called Masterworks Healing Membership Site where I get to interact with them quite closely. And I'm listening. I'm constantly listening. What works? What doesn't work? What do they like? Surveying your audience is also a really good way to do it if you can. There are services out there like AskDatabase.com that allows you to do some really interesting things with surveys and testimonials where you can talk to your audience. If you don't have an audience, then, you know, do some research. What is the most dominant thing on sitcoms these days? What is the most dominant theme that a lot of people are – now, I live in a world of spirituality, so I'm really going to be focused on that. That's where I notice it. I don't spend a lot of time now on the other stuff as much. But if you're in a particular niche, read all the publications in your niche. Just get like 10, 15, 20 of them and just take 2 days, you know, or a week and go through one every day. And you're with that intention. I'm going to see a trend. I'm going to see a pattern. I'm going to see something here. And there's an energetic component. Can you feel that?
Absolutely.
Of holding that intention, that the things will show up. You know, Bruce Lipton is on my show on Thursday, and I've been thinking about him. I wanted to do something a little different with him, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I wonder what I should do. And I read a lot of books, and I usually read my speaker's books during the season, but I have my Kindle, and I was a little bored one night, and I didn't want to watch TV, and I picked up my Kindle, and I'm like, oh, I forgot I downloaded this book, and it's Malcolm Gladwell's The Outliers.
Outliers, yeah.
And I read the first chapter, and the first chapter is completely relevant to Bruce Lipton. So, you know, it's like, who would have thought that the first chapter of Malcolm Gladwell's book would be relevant to Bruce Lipton? It wasn't my intention to learn about Bruce Lipton through Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's what happens. We hold an intention, the universe shows up. They'll show you the trends that are relevant to your business. And then the next key is to say, okay, there are the trends. Now, how can I serve that marketplace? And again, there's a good portion, I believe, of intuition that comes here. When you ask those kinds of questions, the universe, you know, James Redfield in The Celestine Prophecy, one of the things that I got out of his book years ago, what is that, 15 so years ago, was know what your questions are.
Because
when you know what your questions are, the when the answers show up, you know that, oh, that's the answer because I knew what the question was. So hold a strong intention of I'm going to spend the next 30 days focused on what's best for my customers. What do my customers want from me? Even if you don't have a product, that question will show you some amazing things. What do my customers want from me? Who are my customers? You know, feeling into your customers. I think we did that exercise last time, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Feeling into your customers. And then asking, what do my customers want? And say, I am willing to listen to the universe, whatever shows up. Go out and buy some magazines then with that intention. Watch television with that intention. And you'll see the trends. They'll show up in black and white.
Yeah, I think you're pointing to something really, really, really key in that. I think sometimes folks like forget how important it is. It's this intention piece, and then looking for the evidence.
Yes, that's,
you know,
right.
Looking for the signposts of the answer to your intention.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And, you know, sometimes it can get confusing because something looks like it's, oh, that's clearly the answer, and it's not. You know, it's clearly the answer to lead you to the next answer that is clearly the answer.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we have to be careful on, too, is that we don't get caught up in, well, I thought that was the answer, but it wasn't, so this sucks.
Yeah.
This stuff doesn't work. No, it's called life. And that next thing that showed up, it's funny, I was just working with a client on this morning, that next thing that shows up may not have worked, but it's guiding you. The momentum is there. It's creating as Abraham Hicks says, a moment of contrast that says, okay, well, that didn't work. So then what will work? What's next? And sometimes that stops us, and it's really a shame because we are on this roll, and part of the role is that might not work. By that not working, it will push you to do something else and do something else and do something else.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. I always have this image of in Popeye, Wimpy, when he's following the burger. You know the aroma of the burger, how it just pulls him through the streets and the traffic and everything, and he's following it no matter what. It's like that.
It is like that. And, you know, sometimes there's some close calls with Wimpy, right?
Yeah.
You know, he just dodges stuff. And that's what we're doing in our life, too. But it's continually propelling us onward. And,
yeah.
And if we can look at our life now as that moment, as these series of moments of momentum, not a series of destinations, which is, it's really easy to get there in business. You know, that it's, you know, this is where we need to be. And then, you know, get into stats and numbers. And it's, you know, much to my accountant's chagrin, it's not something I focus a lot of attention on. I probably should spend more time on it as my business grows. I mean, some attention needs to be spent there, but I am definitely going more with the flow of the energy, like what's next. And right now I can feel that there's something really big on the horizon, and I can tell you honestly, I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, but you can feel it. Yeah.
I can feel it, and it doesn't matter if I know what it is.
Yeah.
If it doesn't matter, because as soon as I know what it is, it's going to propel me into hows. And hows can stop my energy in a flash.
Yeah, and that happens as a consequence of you acting and following the energy of what is propelling you in your business. So it's kind of like a strange catch-22. If you don't follow those urgings and that pull, you'll never really be able to solidly follow the urgings and the pull.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And
yeah.
that's when we get stuck. That's what we actually define as stuck.
Yeah.
We define stuck as I'm stuck. I'm not moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
so
it's all perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say that I'm actually not stuck, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Can you feel the freedom in that?
Oh, yeah.
What if I'm not stuck? What if I'm just exactly where I'm supposed to be right now because right around the corner something's going to show up?
Yeah.
What if?
That's one of my favorite phrases. What if? What if? What if?
What if?
Moved me out of many a dark moment. And because I think that's the other thing that's really important to point out, too, is that there is a lightness. This is an adventure. Your business is an adventure because it's not like you ever get to a resting point. Right, Jennifer?
No, that's right. And, you know, one thing that I think I've talked about this before, which is don't let your business dreams pay your mortgage, especially if it's really, really new. And that's a mistake that I made, which is this has to pay for my rent. Before it's off the ground.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead, I mean, we've talked about this before too, which is what can pay my rent while I am visiting and revisiting and expanding and moving into the momentum of my dream? What can I do to generate income? So what I did was I quit my job in corporate America. I was so burnt out. I hated marketing, and I use the word hate because I use that word a lot back then. I hated it, and I created that. I created the energy of hating my job. And so I finally quit, and I was done, and I was finished, and I was never going to do it again. I was going to be a healer. God damn it. Isn't that spiritual?
Very.
What I faced was poverty, and what I realized in hindsight now is that, and I said this earlier on the call, you don't have to do that to yourself. You don't have to be in a place of poverty. You don't have to run away or stop something. You can change the circumstances that you're in, and I eventually did go back into marketing for another year. I started my own marketing practice where I took on clients, and even though I was still grumbling about being in marketing, I still was not in a place where I was accepting. And if you can find that place of acceptance, it's so much more joyful, really and truly. You don't have to go through what I went through. You really don't. And I went back into marketing, and I was able to make an income to create what I've created now in my healing practice, in my healing life. I made an income that allowed me the space and the time to pursue my dreams. If my healing practice were my only source of income at the time, and I'm not saying this to healers in general, this is just simply my story, that at the time, if my healing practice were my only, it would have become a burden. It would have no longer been a dream. If healing with the masters at the time was simply my only source of income, it would have become a burden. I would have strangled it with my grasping energy.
Yeah.
To try and make it happen.
Yeah.
Instead, I had this marketing backup. I had clients. Even though I didn't enjoy the marketing quite as much, I still had this beautiful backup. And it allowed me to use that to create the space and the energy for my dreams. So if you're in a position right now where you hate your job, change it. You don't have to leave. Change it. If you're in a position where you hate your job and you know that you've got a side business, that if you could just do it full time, you know, you're going to hate your business as much as you hated your job if you hate your job right now.
Yeah.
So change it. Change your mind about your business. You know, and the easiest way to start doing that is, you know, what's right? What's good? What can you have gratitude for right now in your business? You know, a friend of mine had a client, and they said, "Well, I like the chair. I really like my chair," and that's where they started. And they completely turned around their experience of work. So what normally happens is they can then move from that job into something else, maybe even a better job, that can still fund their dream, or they move into their dream from this place of openness and space and acceptance and accepting and embracing their life and what is, rather than from a place of escape.
Yeah, and I think what you're also pointing to here is the energy, the quality of the energy that is really the dominant energy in their field.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you're in a job and you're hating it, or you're in a business and you're hating it, the first thing to shift is yourself.
Absolutely. The only thing to
shift. That's really the only thing you can do.
The only thing you can do in any situation.
And because that, the thing is that very thing is what shuts you down from your own creative genius.
You bet.
And so as you start maybe being lighter about it and saying, well, you know what, I'm not really sure. I've got this idea, and I'm not really sure how I'm going to get there. But, you know, I'm going to see. The thing is lightening your energy and opening it up.
That's right.
So that the ideas can come to you, so that the synchronicities can occur, so that you meet the right people. I mean, the way that this happens, it's really like a fairy tale once you start putting down the story, right,
Jennifer? It totally is. And I didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing with you the mistakes that I made. And I still managed to I had to go to an extreme kind of dark night of the soul in order to not have anything that was, like I said, that was remotely close to achievement in order to understand what achievement was. I had to go to the extremes of poverty to understand what wealth was. I had to move into that because I'd been comfortable pretty much most of my life. You know, never super secure, but never insecure in terms of money.
Yeah.
And I had to go to that place of extreme insecurity to understand that it's all fine. And I'm telling you right now, you don't have to do what I did. You really don't. You don't have to go to those extremes. Some of you may have to. And some of you may be there already right now. And what I'm telling you, that if you're there already right now, then bless that moment, because it too will pass. We have seasons in our life. And that season for me was a remarkable foundation of trust, a remarkable foundation of knowingness that I've been able to stand on since then.
Yeah. This, we're spending a lot of time on this, but this is really, really important, because the strategies and the external things in our businesses, which I know you're going to go into a little bit about creating products and building your list and all that fun stuff, but the biggest barrier that I have found in creating your own business are always these internal barriers.
Oh, it's 100% of it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, you know, marketing barely matters in comparison to where your energy's at.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
The fundamentals of marketing have a really good, nice-looking, don't have your brother's sister's cousin who's 15 years old put your website together. Just don't do it. Websites are really inexpensive now. Create a nice face, a nice phrase to your business that looks professional. You can buy a template from Asia right now for $50 for a really nice-looking website. Hire a professional and do a nice website. And then once you've got that face up, That at least someone, you have some place that you can direct them to. And the rest of it is intention. I mean, I have a lot of marketing strategies, and I'll talk about them in a minute. But if you do not have a strong intention that you feel in the depths of your being is real, then marketing barely matters.
So
I completely agree.
Yeah,
intention,
you know, I was almost going
to
start off this interview with a question that I have, because it's one that I had to ask myself quite often. You know, like, how do you know if it's a hobby or if it's a business?
That's a really good question. My hobby is my business. and I'm very, very lucky, because it wasn't for a long time.
Yeah.
For a very long time, it wasn't. And I didn't know if this was possible. But I know that it's possible for me, and I know that it's possible for everyone on the planet.
Yeah.
I really do. So I think when you make your first couple of $1,000s in a month, it's no longer really just a hobby.
Right.
That's, I think, when you know. When
yeah.
you've got customers that are telling you that you've done something really special for them, it's no longer just a hobby.
So how can folks get to that place where they actually start, you know, how do they create a product easily?
That's a very difficult question because not everyone is supposed to create a product. there are some people that are brokers. There are some people that are workers. There are some people that are actually going to create products. There are some people that are supposed to partner with others who create products. So everyone has a skill set. Everyone has a skill set within business that is different. There are visionaries. I'm a visionary. I am not the most logistically organized person. So I hire people who are really, really good at that. There are supporters. There are people who are supporters. So not everyone is supposed to have their own business. Some people are supposed to be in partnership with someone else who has a business. Some people are supposed to use their gifts in that way, or the kind of the power behind the throne idea,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you think about creating a product, I think what's really important is to understand what it is that you actually fills you up when you are performing it. Right, there's actually a really cool, like a Myers-Briggs kind of test
mm-hmm.
for wealth. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's not Myers-Briggs, but if it's a wealth test, and there's categories of personalities for wealth that I thought it was fascinating when I took it, and what I realized just by taking it, I haven't really dove in very deeply into it, but what I realized is that I'm a visionary, and I kind of always knew that, but the best person for a visionary is a supporter. And so not everyone's going to be a visionary, not everyone's going to be a supporter. They're also a personality type called mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your product from that perspective, I think, is really important. What do you love to do? What fills you up? And it's not just do, but what is that feeling of full upness that you get? And when you get that feeling of full upness, of fulfillment, what is it that you just did? My feeling of full upness comes from watching another person expand, watching another person make a breakthrough. So from that perspective, what kind of a product might I create if that is what fulfills me the most? It probably wasn't credibility branding, right, which became a product for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Big Book of You. Right, sharing my spiritual insights from 30 years of spiritual practice became the product for me that I took my experiences and helped others fill up. So if you're a supporter, what would fill you up? We could go really simplify this and say fishing totally fills me up. Fishing is it. I love to fish. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I've been doing it for 20 years. I know everything about it. I know how to create the lures. I know how to fly fish. I know there's a certain technique I do use with my wrist, when I'm fly fishing. And so that, what would a product be from that? Well, you could either be an aggregator, where you are healing with the masters like thing. I'm an aggregator of spiritual information. You could be an aggregator and start a teleseminar for fishermen. You could be an aggregator and post all of the stuff that from your favorite fish lore. You could create a website that has, or a blog post that has all your fishing experience on it. Julie, did you ever see the movie Julie and Julia? It's something I recommend to entrepreneurs all the time that they see, because it is a perfect example of how a huge business can come out of absolute nothing. Julia Child
mm-hmm.
Didn't even know how to cook when she went to France. She was guided to France, and she was bored, so she took cooking lessons. She got really good. And she was also this incredible personality that bumped into the male class of chefs and made a name for herself there, and then took that and moved on to create a cookbook that just showed up out of the blue. And then she created a television show. Julia Child in the United States of America is not a TV personality. She's got this bizarre voice, and she's super tall, and she's kind of awkward looking.
Yeah.
Right? Look what she did. Look at Julie. Julie, who wrote the book about, and that became the movie, Julie and Julia. She started a blog, and she just decided she was working in this really challenging job, you know, taking care of people who were devastated by 9/11, and said, I got to do something else, and decided to create a blog and cook all of Julia's recipes in her cookbook over 365 days. And that turned into a huge following of people that turned into a book that turned into a movie. Do you see this?
Yeah.
How do you create a product? What fills you up? What fills you up?
Yeah.
And then ask the universe. Hold an intention. Okay, I am right now, everyone on the call, just say this right now to yourself. I am intending on creating a product. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm creating intention. Okay? Now, let's take that intention deeper. I am going to move inside right now, and I'm going to feel in my body what it feels like when I've created something that is me, that is singularly me, and it's come out of me and is now in the world. What does it feel like in your body when you've created this remarkable thing that now becomes a gift for others to use? Feel the feeling of that. What does it feel like in your body? Right now I'm feeling empowered and full and peaceful. I feel good that something is coming out of me right now that I know is going to change the planet. I know it. I can feel it. For you, it might be something that's going to change a group of people. Okay, so feel that. Allow that. Now, feel into what does your life look like when this has come to its full expression. This product is now in the world. You've got customers. What are your customers like? What do they feel like? And it's just an essence. You don't have to know anything more than that, just the essence of them. Who are they? What do they feel like? What do they feel like? How are they showing up as customers? And now, you've got these customers. You've got this product. You've got this business built around this product or products. Now, what does your life look like from this? Where are you living? What kind of things are you experiencing? What kind of people are in your life? What kind of people are no longer in your life? What does it feel like to have that? Allow that to expand into your being. And the homework after this call would be to go out and spend and experience a day in the life. What happens when you wake up in the morning? How do you feel in your body? What are you experiencing? What kind of a day do you have? What kind of things are you doing in that day that may be different than what you're experiencing now? That is the place of intention. That is the place of vibrational resonance with your dream. And that is what makes things show up.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got some additional pieces for myself. Thanks.
I did too.
I know, that always happens. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and this living in that energy of how that feels is really, really important, because if you're living in the energy of what I call, in quotes, apparent reality or whatever it is that you're experiencing now, that's just not where this is going to come from. So spending as much time as possible in this kind of an experience of feeling what that intention of what that potential actually feels like,
yeah,
is actually going to make it come quicker.
Yeah, and I want a little caveat with that, though. I mean, that's absolutely 100% the truth and really profoundly important. And a little caveat of that is that you don't spend all of your time doing that. You actually listen to your inspirations and you act. Acting is incredibly important. When I was with Ellen Britt, I don't know if you remember this, Adele, the very first call, she didn't even tell us what the business model was. I kind of felt it. And on that first day of Ellen's coaching model, I started booking the first Healing with the Masters.
Yeah.
Do you remember that a Healing with the Masters started before our coaching program was completed?
Before it ended, yeah.
So
yeah.
Act. You get the inspiration, you go, you act on it. It's when I called Joe Vitale, I sent Joe Vitale an email. I was inspired by him in a moment, and I sent him an email in that moment, and I just told him what was in my heart, and he wrote back to me that I had made his day. And we started a dialogue, and that dialogue ended up with me being in his book, The Key, about my healing work, not about my marketing.
Wow.
And so these are the things that show up when we, when we're in that place of listening, creating the space. We have to have space within us. Grasping energy does not create space. We have to have space within us. When we have the space within us, inspiration has a place to land. And then when we listen to that inspiration, then act on that inspiration. Those are the miracles for me every time. Creating a space for inspiration, but almost as importantly is acting in the moment on that inspiration. Neil Donald Walsh tells a story about his, I think it was his nephew, who was supposed to go up the street. He just heard, you know, Neil actually heard, go up the street and visit with my neighbor. And the kid didn't want to go. And he said, go up the street and visit with my neighbor. So he goes up the street and visits with the neighbor. And who was there? But the person who was on the board, the director of the board, that was for the school that this kid was applying to. Just visiting.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that when we listen to and we pay attention to it and we act on it. But I also want to say that if you don't act on it, that your life will be a living... No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
if you don't act on it, you know, this is something that Kim George, who was one of my coaches, said to me. She said, what was meant for you can never be lost, ever. So the universe will give us many more opportunities. And this is when I talk about the compression theory, which is the volume will increase. You ask for what you want. You ask for what you want. You ask for what you want. If you're not there, you will, you're obviously not vibrational resonant with it because you don't have it. So the universe is going to provide all the opportunities for you to become in vibrational resonance with what you want. And if you don't act on what the universe is delivering you, which is actually what you are delivering to yourself, really that's what's happening. There's not some outside universe that's delivering it. It's your universe that's delivering it to you. If you don't act on it, the volume increases and increases and increases until you have no choice but to act on it. So you can either choose to act on it when it's a squeak, or you can choose to act on it when it's a big, huge roar. It's easier at a squeak. And when you act on it at a squeak, the elegance of it just expands exponentially.
Yeah, and it's a much better trip.
It certainly is. It is indeed.
So the time has escaped again, Jennifer, and I wanted to just save a couple of minutes so we can talk a little bit about your Healing Life, Healing Business product that you created, which actually a number of people have taken and have, I know that they've had success from just using
it,
your program.
It's a really remarkable program because it's really a strange statistic. It's like 80% or so of the people who invest in this program and use it. I mean, there's a key thing, use it, have really changed their vibration and have really, because it's really an interesting thing. It's two straight days of being in vibrational resonance with your dream. So it's we go deep and we go long and we explore and excavate the soul and we release any obstacles to vibrational resonance to success. And what we create in those first 2 days is an opening, is that space that I was talking about. And the last 2 days, that space is then filled with absolute strategies and tactics. I go deep into what credibility branding is and how it works. We had a wonderful teacher, Don, who goes into the fundamentals of blogging and websites, and I talk about social media, I talk about Twitter and how to use it. And it was a very, very special program, and people seem to really do well with it because it gives you those two important aspects, the absolute opening and space and clearing the obstacles that then allows you to really hear some of the important business concepts and strategies to use to become successful. And I it's really interesting that we did it a year and a half ago, and it still continues to be relevant and expand people in their business all the time. So we're going to continue to sell it indefinitely, I suspect, for years to come.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program. I own it myself.
Oh, really? You owned it, Adela.
Yeah,
that's
I do
cool.
Because, you know, I like to buy the products that I promote.
Yes.
You know, I mean, at this point, let me tell you how many products I own. so that I can speak to them, you know,
yeah.
And I love it. It's a wonderful, wonderful, I haven't
yeah,
even, I haven't even gotten completely through it, and I've gotten lots of stuff out of it.
Yeah, and
so.
Just for purchasing, you get my, an e-book of Credibility Branding, so you will get my book, Credibility Branding, if you order.
Okay.
And there's also a ton of bonus gifts you get.
Oh, my
God.
You
get
yeah.
audios, and Mary Hall does an amazing audio meditation, and so this Sandra Lemieux does, and Dee Wallace does this amazing talk. It's just chock full of really cool stuff. So it's for your initial investment, you get bonus gifts that are worth the initial investment. And I believe we're giving a $75 off coupon today.
Oh, that's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, Adela, A-D-E-L-A, all caps.
Okay.
Make sure you click the apply button. If you don't click the apply button and you don't see the change in the total of $75 less, then it didn't take and we can't really do anything after the fact. So please press the you type in Adela into the coupon box and click apply.
Okay, and let me give them the URL for that. It's consciousbusinesstribe.com/healingbiz, B-I-Z, consciousbusinesstribe.com/healingbiz, and it's on the speaker page. And what's the expiration for the coupon, Jennifer?
I think I set it up for a week.
For a week. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're
I will
welcome.
Make sure then put that on the speaker page so that folks know. Jennifer, it has been always so wonderful to have you here at the Conscious Business Telesummit. There's always so much, and I love that experience that you took us through that folks can listen to again. And it's wonderful, wonderful to have you sharing your expertise, your essence, and all of your experience with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun talking to you. You're such a wonderful example of everything I talk about, Adela. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for being with us at the Conscious Business Telesummit. We'll see you tomorrow with our next speakers. So thank you, everyone, and bye-bye. Bye, Jennifer.
Bye now.
Bye.